Praise the Lord. Message number 189. The title of the message, Watchman, part 16. And in this message we will speak that the watchman should be a person who is sure of God's choice in regard for marriages. We will compare in this message two examples of two men and how they choose a partner for marriage. One was a good and successful watchman for this purpose, but the other person did not do well and was not able to perform God's will and pertain to the matter of marriage. Before we go forward further, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint the message, anoint your word, anoint my lips, and arrange the message in the way that you want it to flow. I pray that you take the message to those people whom you ordained to listen and to hear. And I pray for a receptive heart, good heart, who accept your word and your teaching. And I pray that the message will give us a clear teaching to each and everyone who listen to your church, and will put forward for us a clear outline in regard how to choose the right partner for marriage. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that this message will be a blessing to many people. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. This is all we ask and pray in Christ's name, our Lord. Amen. The first example of this message, we will use the servant of Abraham, whom Abraham commissioned to find and to bring the right partner for his son Isaac. We will read the book of Genesis chapter 24, and we will read it from verse 1 to verse 21. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife from my son Isaac. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Verse 6, make sure that you do not take my son back there. Abraham said, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spake to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the woman got to draw water. Then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham, see, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to Agar, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camel. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. This man was a watchman. In verse 13, when he prays, he says, see, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughter of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. And in verse 21, when the Lord showed him Rebekah, he did not speak anything. The man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made her journey successful. Abraham truly put a clear instruction to his servant about finding the woman for his son Isaac. First, he told him not to be from the Canaanite, and that until that the woman will not pull Isaac into worldliness and into worldly practices. The second thing that Abraham put forward to the servant, it had to be back from his country and relatives, and that entailed the woman should leave her old religion and cultural practices. And the third thing that he told his servant, never to bring Isaac back to his previous country. And that what he mean, Abraham, that Isaac should not go back, but Isaac should go forward with the plans of God to him, and that the plan of the Lord for Isaac to be continued and to be also consolidated. And also Abraham told the servant that it should be God's choice and should be God's provision for Isaac. When Abraham told his servant that the Lord, as we can read that in verse 7, he said to his servant, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. Here Abraham commissioned his servant, and he gave him a message of faith. The Lord, he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife. So Abraham, he told his servant Don't bring a woman out of your power of flesh or out of your intelligence. Let God work for you to lead you to the right person, and He'll be the one to enable you to bring that person back to here to be a wife to my son Isaac. Abraham did his part. He gave the clear instruction and outline. But the servant was a real watchman. You know, the servant went with such instructions we had read, and truly he abided himself with him. If you read Genesis chapter 24 to the end, truly that he was a faithful servant. He never compromised with the principle that his master gave to him. That was the principle of God. And he did not compromise even with the family of Rebekah, but he abided really with the instruction. When he came to seek a wife for his master, you know, he did not go to a park or to a garden or where the people are playing and enjoying time. You know, as many people, when they want to find a girl, they go to the mall, they go to the restaurant, they go to see people in the churches, you know. But that is not the way of God. You know, he went to a well of water, expecting to find someone there who are well employed, you know. To find a girl in a garden, the girl will go to the garden to enjoy time. But that is not the good wife. He went to a place where the girls go for work. We need a woman who is mature, not a spoiled girl. Spoiled girl who does not work, who is not fruitful, she can't be a wife. She can't be a suitable helper. Second, when he reached the place, that servant, how we know he's a good watchman, he did not look or search for a kind of a girl that man would desire, like a young, beautiful, big eyes, long hair, blue eyes, black hair. These are the worldly characters that worldly men put forward for marriage. Such criteria, if you had put forward, if you are looking for such kind of girls, it is not the defect in the girls. The defect is in you, who are still worldly, and you are not yet fit for marriage. God wants us to be mature. God wants you to be mature, looking for a suitable helper, not looking for a worldly beauties. Third point about this watchman, the servant of Abraham. He was God's servant. The servant prayed to the Lord, and he sought the help and the favor of God for that purpose. You know, we read in verse 12 to verse 14 what he prayed. And that's how we should look forward. You know, some men, they will come, they will say, I like this girl. I say, how we know? No, because when I saw her, then I pray. No, it's not like that. You should pray. You should not look to girls. You should not look to their faces, their body, yeah, other things. Then you pray. You should not choose any prayer. You should pray. Then when God gives you His choice, you agree. Third, instead of that, the servant prayed to the Lord and sought the help and the favor of God for that purpose. What he prayed, then he prayed, verse 12 to verse 14, he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today, and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. See, even his prayer. His prayer showed that he is a mature person who understands what is life all about, and what is marriage all about, and what is a wife all about. He did not ask God to show him a beautiful or young girl. But in what he prayed, may it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink and I will water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. What he prayed, the servant was looking in his prayer that God will give him a girl who is hard working, not a lazy, spoiled girl. The servant was looking in his prayer that God would give him a generous, not a stingy woman. The Lord would give him a hospitable, not a woman without discretion. That the Lord would give him a helper, not a burden. That the Lord will give him a wise woman, not a dull person, to be a suitable wife for Isaac. That's what we can learn here. When there's a person who is prepared and ready for marriage, we should be in the right mind and prayerfully we search for a woman who is God's servant and who would help the man in his life and mission unto the Lord. Isaac was ready, and when Abraham sent his servant and his commissioned him to go and find that particular woman prayerfully, Isaac was a mature person. And the servant did exactly God's will, and he brought the woman that God had ordained for Isaac to marry. We learn much beautiful things from this. We should not pray or look for a girl if the man is not ready. Place for living, accommodation, income, work, he know God, mature, responsible, approve. Sure that he is a person that he is fit and he can care, he can be responsible of a house, wife, children. The servant prayed that in his heart, you know, even when he prayed that, that servant, as we read in verse 45 from Genesis 24, when he was telling her family, before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out. So even when he prayed, he was praying in his heart. You know, some people, you know, they will make this issue, you know, everyone will know about it and they will pray publicly. That is not the way. That is not the way. We should trust God. When the man is ready, we pray in our heart and we ask the Lord to show us, as this man did. Because sometimes even devil will hear our prayer, will bring wrong people, wrong direction, wrong person. The servant prayed that in his heart, and God answered his prayers because it was in accordance to God's will, and brought to him Rebecca. And verse 21, without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. The servant was a faithful watchman and wanted to be sure that the Lord answered his prayer and had enabled him to find a suitable wife for Isaac. In the same way, the Lord will hear our prayers as we abide in his will and plan, and will enable us and lead us to find his choice to those men among us who are well prepared and mature and ready to have family, wife, and children. The second example of a watchman who was not good in finding and choosing a partner for life and marriage is the example of Jacob. His father Isaac send him to find a wife from his relative, the relative of his mother. We know that already Isaac and Rebecca were very disgusted because Esau, the brother of Jacob, married two women Hittites, you know, in Book of Genesis 27, verse 46. We can read the following. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I am disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. She already very upset, and also sure Jacob was upset, sure also Isaac was upset about this woman. Rebecca told him this. We can read in Book of Genesis chapter 28 verse 1-4 how Isaac commissioned Jacob and sent him to find a suitable wife for him from the relative of his mother. We will read Book of Genesis 28 verse 1-4. So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman, the same as Abraham, instruction to his servant. Now Isaac is doing the same. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there. You know that they are the right people. The right. And sure, he was putting forward that Jacob will be choosing after a prayer, and he will choosing the wife after he is ready for marriage. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughter of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham. So when he sent him, expecting him that he would not stay here and there, and the woman that God will give, she will go back with him to the land that he's living now. So there's almost the same instruction that Abraham gave to his servant, Isaac gave to Jacob. There's one thing different, that Abraham said his servant. Now here in this case, Jacob should do it by himself, but he was given the full instruction. Should not be from the Canaanite, should not be worldly. The woman, as he said to him, to be the relative of your mother and to be willing to come here to live with you in this land, to mean that you're willing to come out from the old religion and practices. And sure, he was expecting that Jacob would not look for a girl unless he is well prepared financially, and then he would be prayerfully seeking God's will, and the Lord would give him the right woman. Isaac truly sent Jacob with a clear instruction, as Abraham sent his servant, and with the expectation that God will do to Jacob as God did to him, in leading the servant of his father Abraham to bring Rebekah to him. Jacob was also a man who is observant. We can read Book of Genesis chapter 29 and verse 1-13. How he was a man who was having good observation. Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the field. He's a watchman. He saw the well in the field with the three flocks of sheep. The same when God led the servant to the spring, God led him to the well with the three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds withdraw the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the shepherds, my brothers, where are you from? where we are from Haran, they replied. He said to them, do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson? Yes, we know him, they answered. Then Jacob asked them, is he well? Yes, he is, they said, and here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. Look, he said, the sun is still high. It is not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to pasture. We cannot, they replied, until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep. While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and Laban's sheep, when he saw his watchman, he saw the gear, he saw the sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. You know, from this, we can see that Jacob is not a person who is not a good observant. He was good observant, but Jacob was not a good faithful watchman in this regard, to find the right match for him, to find the right partner for him, as the servant of Abraham found Rebekah for Isaac. We will read verse 14 to verse 18, same chapter 29. Then Laban said to him, you are my own flesh and blood. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I will work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter Rachel. You see here, the first thing is you can understand that Jacob was not yet ready for marriage. He have no earning, nothing. Not like Isaac. Isaac was ready, he have everything. This man, he just run away. He have just the promise, but nothing in his hand. He have to work it out. He have to work hard. And you know that he need to work. He told me, I will work for you 7 years. What do you say? You give me? Give me Rachel. What is wrong in that? Jacob made his choice to work hard for 7 years and earn to marry Rachel. He first did it without a prayer or seeking God's will or choice. Second, his decision exclusively was based on external beauty of Rachel, because she's beautiful, he like her. Many of the boys, they will look to the gear, they like the gear, they are not ready. They will call the gear, they will say, we'll marry after 4 or 5 years. That is not the way of God. When you are not ready, don't even pray, don't even look, don't even ask people to find for you. When you are ready, then you pray, then you ask God, Then you ask people to pray, right people. You ask us when you are ready. Will you pray for you? We will help you. Rachel, you should not choose the Jacob, you should not choose the woman before he is prepared and ready for marriage. He should tell his uncle, uncle, I have nothing. No, I want to work. After 7 years, when I work for you, see whom God will give me woman, and then you help me for marriage. Many people nowadays, they are like Jacob. They made wrong choices for marriages based on emotions, feelings, worldly passions, desires, seeking girls' beauties without seeking God's wills or plan. You know, if you read Book of Genesis 29, verse 20, it shows clearly the main reason of Jacob's choice. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. He was in love for her. Man, you should not be in love with the girl, you should be in love with God. Obey God, and He will be the one to give you the right woman. You know, Laban knew very well that Jacob was in error, and he cannot give him Rachel for marriage. You know, Laban, according to his tradition and custom, that they cannot give the younger girl before the elder one. He should face him with the truth, but Laban did not do it because he did not want to lose Jacob's service. You know, we know after that, and we will read it also, that day of marriage, he did not give him Rachel, but he gave him Leah. You know, many pastors and church leaders, they behave like Laban. They would agree with the man about marriages, not, and they know very well that this marriage is not in accord to God's will and plan, just because they would not want to lose members or workers in the church. But dear, they are losing God. And we know, finally, Jacob left Laban. If you behave like Laban, God will not bless you. If you compromise with the people, God will not bless your ministry. Let's read what happened further. Let's read verse 19 onward in chapter 29. Genesis 29, verse 19 onward. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to some other man. To some other man. Stay here with me. See, here's the point. Stay here with me. I don't want to. He does not want him to go away because he wants him to serve him. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed and I want to lie with her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, it is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Hear what he did? He told him the truth, but after what? After 7 years. He should tell it to him from the beginning. I cannot give you the younger. And that's what we need to say to those who say that I'm coming to this church and pastor, I like this girl. What we tell them, you are not yet ready. If they are not ready, we tell them you are not yet ready. When you are ready, God will give you another person, not this what you choose. And if they are coming just for the gear, tell them you're welcome to come to God. We cannot approve your choice. We need to pray and seek God. And whatever God will decide, then we will agree with God and we will help you to do His will. You know, the servant of Abraham did not choose the woman when he saw her. He saw God first in the prayer. Jacob never even pray, never ask, Lord, this woman or no. And for some people, they will, you know, say, I pray and I ask God to give me this woman. You are not a God. You should agree with what God gives you, not that you force God to agree with you. Those who see a gear and they like the gear and they start to pray, this is idol worship. The gear becomes their God. Let us fix our eyes unto Jesus. Let's go back to the principle of God's word. Book of Genesis shows us a good example of how God leads His people to the right person for marriage. Verse 27, Laban, he does not want to lose now even, you know, Jacob, but he don't finish this daughter's bridal week. Then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work. And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Ger Belah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. Jacob was misled by Laban, and he was forced for polygamy, multiple marriages, and marrying another wife just because Laban was greedy for Jacob's service, and he took advantage of Jacob's emotions and feelings. But we know what happened later on in the future. Finally, Rachel died, and Jacob left with Leah. Leah was God's choice for him. You know, as a church, God called us to be honest, faithful watchmen. We should stand with the Lord, not with the emotion of young people. Now, some they say, oh, this is their life, this is their choice. Yeah, but the thing here, when marriages are not ordained by the Lord, we are sinning against God. And we are giving false image about what is Christianity and what is God's will. You know, Jesus said it was not like that from the beginning. Many deviation from God's word. And the point here, there are three faculties that God gave authority. Authority to the government, authority to the church, and authority to the parents. When the government is not concerned about marriages, whatever you like. And when the church go along also the people, and when the parents are not concerned and no discipline, and everyone do what he like by the flesh, putting God's will away, then there's no more foundation. God really call you and want you to be a watchman for this particular matter. And I pray that this message, this God's word will penetrate our heart and life. For the word of God is sharper than double-edged sword, shall penetrate and do the work and achieve the purpose that the Lord has sent. Lord, that's your word, not my word. Let me, Lord, come through and achieve the purpose. I pray, O God, that those who hear it, O God, they'll be cut to the heart and repent and stand firm with you, Lord. You had called the church, you had called every one of us to be faithful in this matter. Lord, I commit myself. Tell him, Lord, I commit myself. I will not compromise. Lord, thank you for your words that makes me think in a clear way. Thank you for your word that makes things clear to me in regard to the choice of marriage. Lord, I commit myself to abide with your word in regard to this matter. Tell him, Lord, I will follow your will. Give me courage, Lord. Give me boldness. Support me so that I will work with you to do your will. I pray, Lord, help us as a church to face those following wrong principle of marriages, and lead us to people who are well prepared, oh God, mature to accept your word and your will, oh God. Oh God, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it achieve the purpose that you sent this message forth. Lord, as you say in your word in Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. I pray that we'll be a faithful watchman, every one of us, to do your work and your will. Lord, bless us in this matter. Enable us to ordain marriages according to your will and plan. Bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, Amen and Amen.